Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
Salutations to everybody out there. I am Big Daddy, and this is Big Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 67. Yes, Volume 67. And wow. I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Belisha Brown.
Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. Hi to you, Big Daddy.
Hello, Belisha Brown. How was your weekend?
My weekend was excellent, very good, until, you know, reality hit me again.
Yeah. Reality sucks, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So we want to talk about a couple of things. I'm only going to touch on the orange one briefly. He's over in Saudi Arabia, signing an arms deal, and I'm watching him, and I see different clips, blah, 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 with him over there, and you know how they try to do different things, and he's dancing with these guys that looked very, like, awkward. Yeah, it looked very awkward, and then somebody had put, like, this necklace around his neck, and you can see, like, him just feel real uncomfortable about it. I'm thinking to myself, like, you are the most hypocritical son of a bitch, that I've ever seen, because he's over here preaching about putting up walls and this, that, and forth. But then you're over there kissing her ass. And then he's talking about this arms deal and that he signed. And I don't know verbatim what this arms deal is about, but it's supposed to give more jobs and put up more jobs. But actually, they just piggybacked off of something that Barack Obama had started but then stopped because of what Saudi Arabia did. Like, once he started it, he noticed that they attacked somebody with the arms that, you know, deal that he had signed, and then he had just stopped the deal altogether. So the arms went over there. To, you know, of course, anything they got to do with war, you know, he's all about it, because all he wants to do is sit back and press buttons. So, that's what's going on with that. And also, with that, if I don't know if it was yesterday or today, and two people commented on it and it had me thinking. Mike Pence gave a speech at a graduation, and some of the students in the middle of Mike Pence's speech stood up and walked out. And I have a video of it. Anybody look at my Facebook page to see it. And somebody thought one way about it, saying that was, you know, kind of rude on their part, and they messed up their own graduation, and they could have just endured that little bit and didn't have to do it. And then somebody else said, they graduated. You got to give them that diploma. Ain't like you don't say that. It's not like they're not going to get their diploma. And the majority of the time, you already had the diploma before the graduation. And if this is the stand that they wanted to take, it was their business. And I feel as though if that's what they wanted to do, and they wanted to take it, God bless them. It is what it is. They should have knew, whoever set the graduation should have knew that somebody was going to take some type of stand if Mike Pence was giving a speech. And my question to you, Felicia, because you're a college graduate, would you get out of?
I too posted that video on my page, and to the person that said that, you know, they messed up their own graduation, I feel that their graduation might have been messed up. I mean, here's one of the happiest days of their lives, and, you know, someone that they do not stand for, someone who has already demonstrated that him and the administration he's a part of doesn't care about what they did all throughout their 4 years and what they're going to do after, you know, they graduate, is trying to speak to them about, you know, things that he knows nothing about. I mean, I said, and when I posted that, he had said nothing about education in their plan. He said nothing about affordable education in their plan. He said nothing about, you know, what they're going to do about student loans or anything in their plan. So I would have gotten up too. And if you notice, a lot of the people that gotten up, I don't know, it's like a trend now that people are doing a lot of things, decorating their hats and wearing different things on their gown. A lot of those people were LGBTQ or supported LGBTQ. You can tell by the colors that was on, you know, gowns. A lot of those people that had stuff like that got up and walked away. So to have such a polarizing figure speak at, you know, speak towards a demographic that has so many different types of people with so many different types of beliefs that truly represent this new generation. It's just, it's weird to me. And it happened to Betsy DeVos, and I'm sure it's going to happen to someone else from this administration too. They need to stop asking these people to speak at these graduations. It's truly a mess. These are people that shouldn't be speaking at graduations anyway.
If I could piggyback off of what you just said, I totally agree with everything you said, one. And two, again, just like you just said, you know going in that it's going to be some type of reaction.
Right.
When you have
you're going to offend someone.
You're going to offend somebody. So don't have these people come, at least not this year. Now, maybe if it was next year, or the year after or something, maybe if Captain Cheetos had proved himself or did something worthwhile, or, you know, something, you know what I'm saying? That maybe you, but right at this point in time, with the way that election went, with the current things that has happened in Washington and the investigation that's going on and him firing who he wants to fire, how he wants to hire, and this, that, and the fourth, I'm not even going to get into all that. People have the right to demonstrate the way they want to.
Yes.
And if they went to school for 4 years and paid $100,000, close to $100,000, or whatever, how much they paid to go to school, damn it, they could do what they want to do. If they felt like getting up and walking out, hey, get up and walk out. You're still a college graduate. If nobody can take you away, take that away from you. So if somebody want to get offended because they walked out, then the hell with you. You stayed, they walked out. You ain't never got to see this person again. It is what it is.
Right.
But I'm glad these younger people are not afraid to stand up and demonstrate in what they believe in. And I think that's where we kind of fell off over the years, but it's good to see it come back. If they felt as though they wanted to, and it was peaceful, they didn't get up and moon them. They didn't flip up
right.
The bird. They didn't chant, go F yourself or nothing like that. They stood up and they walked out. BFD.
Right. And, yes, I would have absolutely gotten up too. I just wonder what the parents and the families that were watching up in the seats felt about it. But, you know, you can either be happy and proud of your child or standing up no matter what side you stand on.
Exactly. And something else I want to touch on real quick, and then I'll get to our commercial because we got pay-per-views to go over as far as WWE. It was a big weekend for the WWE. But there's one more thing I just want to touch on as far as social media and this, that, and the fourth. And plus, we got a movie review to do, too. So I want to get into a movie review after I bring this point up. Then we'll take commercial, and then we'll, you know, we'll go from the two pay-per-views from there. There was a video that went up on his parents fighting at a graduation. Now, the people who were fighting were Caucasian, and they were fighting amongst each other. It was over seating or something. I can't remember what exactly was over. But just to me, some of the comments that came out is not the same if you'd have seen a bunch of black people fighting. They weren't, they didn't call these people thugs or idiots or animals or nothing like that. They just said, oh, well, you know, they were fighting, blah, 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 and they thought it was funny. But let that have been a bunch of black parents out there fighting and have been despicable animals and they're thugs and that and the fourth. And you know where I'm getting at with this. What's the
difference? Yeah, it's the truth.
What's the difference? And it's just, it's disgusting to me. And once I seen that, I'm like, you know what? This is why I really need to take a break from social media and, like, take a vacation from it. Because I sit here and I watch this stuff, and it irritates me. And people are just rude, and they're ignorant. And if you don't have anything constructive to say, don't say anything at all. But that's what social media is for, I guess, is for anybody who wants to give their opinion, to give their opinion, and it's cool. But to me, that's like labeling people. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I feel the same exact way.
So, just wanted to touch on that. And that's all I'm going to go through with that. Now I want to get into a movie review.
Oh, my gosh.
The movie was called The Wall. And next week we'll come back with another movie. We'll be reviewing Aliens next week. But the movie we're reviewing this week is called The Wall. It starred John Cena.
Oh, dear.
And two other actors. I can't remember their names. I try to remember their names, but I can't. This was a war movie. And the only three actors in the movie were these three actors. Except for the end where... Felicia's laughing already. Except for the end where, you know, a bunch of guys came in to save John Cena and the guy did. But the whole movie was set at this wall in somewhere overseas. I don't even think they really said where. But basically, it was a sniper movie, and this one guy who was of Indian descent, I don't know what, but he was, and he shot John Cena first. John Cena went down and go check out this scene. Let's check out what was going on. He got shot. And then his buddy went down to save him. Guy shot the guy's water bottle, the knee, and the radio. So he couldn't call for help. So the whole rest of the movie is pretty much with this guy trying to figure out how he's going to live. While this guy's other guy's hiding in a pile of trash with a gun on him, ready to pick him off. And it got to be like a battle wits. Meanwhile, Cena is injured. You think Cena's dead, but he's not dead. And then he's going to reach for his gun and try to shoot. And then when he did try to shoot, the guy picked him off. And then here comes, you know, the finally help comes. And the guy who you think was dead wasn't dead. And he shoots down the helicopter at the end, which I thought was kind of a cool ending. You know, I like to see the villain win at the end sometimes. So this was the whole movie. Unless I missed something.
Did miss anything.
And that was it. It was a bunch of talking back and forth and a bunch of curse words. And a lot of these two actors. And the whole movie was three people.
Right.
So with that, I'm going to give it a one. Only because I like the ending.
And I think you're being too generous.
There was a point in the movie where you could have got up, went to the bathroom, played one of them cheesy video games or whatever, sitting out in the lobby of the theater, came back and still knew what was going on. that sounds slow and just boring. This movie began and just went, and it was just a one. That's all I could give it. And I'm being generous with that. What was your opinion?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. You are being too generous. The way you described the movie, too generous. The way you rated the movie, too generous. But I don't know if they're using, for anybody that doesn't know, John Cena is one of the most popular wrestlers in WWE right now. Even when he's not there, he's like the biggest name in wrestling. But I don't know if they're using his name to try to get people to come out, but he was in the movie for all of like 20 minutes. The movie right off the bat is only an hour and 21 minutes. So what does that tell you? It's like an hour of talking. I didn't even bother to look up who the other two actors were. That's how much I didn't care about this movie. But it had potential, you know. Of course, there's been a lot of other war movies out, and it just had potential to be something. But they totally had the audacity to make this a boring, one-shot, one-sight movie that was just so boring. It was literally all talking, and there was no, like, swerve at the end or a dun-dun moment or, you know, action, fighting, you know. It was horrible. I don't even know if it can be classified as a war movie because there was no war. But it was really bad. It was so bad. And for the people that are, you know, happy to see John Cena in movies, honestly, there have been other wrestlers that have been in movies, and they're doing better than him. The Rock is doing better. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Batista is doing better than him right now. Batista's killing it in the Guardian series. And honestly, those are the only movies he ever has to do, and he will be good. But John Cena, acting may not be for you, buddy. You might just have to, you know, ride off into the sunset altogether, because wrestling isn't for you either. But I give it a 0.5, and don't tell me that I can't give it a 0.5, because I will. It's half of a booty. A half big bet, big daddy.
It's one cheek. It's just one cheek?
It's one cheek.
Wow. So, to you, this movie was worse than Slight.
This is the worst movie I've ever seen. Not this year, not in the past 5 or 10 years, ever in my entire life. I am not over-exaggerating because I am not a Cena fan. This movie was garbage.
In your entire life, that was
in my entire life. And for anybody that does not know, I am 31 years old. My entire life. It was garbage.
Wow.
On a hot August day.
It was garbage on a hot August day. That means it really
I think I even fell asleep during, like, one of the monologues in the movie. I fell asleep. It was bad.
Damn. That's it with the bullshit.
Why are you laughing?
Because it really was bad.
It was painful.
It was, like I said, I just like the way it ended. I don't know. But outside of that, it really was just bad. And I don't even know how this made it into theaters. And I don't claim to know a whole bunch about movies, but who greenlit this? To put it in the theaters. But I've seen good movies not make it into a theater. I don't get it. And this is one that should be the DVD and left it at that. But it's in theaters, and I'm curious to how much money it made and how much money they spent to even make it. Because they probably didn't spend over $100,000 to make it. It was one area to shoot it. The whole movie was in this one spot. Outside of paying the actors, I don't see how much money, I don't know. Anyway.
What was the budget, right?
The budget, because the budget couldn't have been that much. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh. I can't
Let's take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to go over NXT TakeOver Chicago. And we're also going to go over Backlash. Backlash, to me, was up and down. And I got irritated about one thing that happened. But when we get back from commercial, I'm going to talk about it. I just think the WWE really made a mistake with a couple of things they did last night. But overall, SmackDown still was a SmackDown's pay-per-view was pretty good. The wrestling itself was tight. It's just a couple of things I'll hit on. But at the commercial, we'll come back. Big Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 67.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in Southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
And we're back. Big Daddy's Hard Talk, Volume 67. I am Big Daddy. I'm joined by Felicia Brown, my beautiful co-host.
Hello, everyone.
Okay. I'm going to start with TakeOver, and then we'll go on to Backlash. NXT TakeOver. Excellent show. Nothing I could say bad. Opening match, Eric Young versus Roderick Strong. Very good opener. Only thing I'm going to say about that is they got to start to put Eric Young for their matches. Like, I just want to see him do a little bit more. the whole insanity thing. I love the entrance. I love the group. I'm an Eric Young fan. I just want to see him do more. And I think, like, this may be the second or third takeover where he's pretty much curtain jerked, and I think he's better than that. So it's time to do more with him. Then after that, help me out, Felicia.
I don't remember the order. I just remember, like, the card. So it might have been – it wasn't the women's match next, was it? It was only, like, four or five matches on the card.
Yeah, it was for the United Kingdom heavyweight championship. I wasn't a big – but that match won me over. Because these two guys sort of put the builder down, and the match was so made sense. Like, it went from pain to, like, a lot of hard hitting stuff, and then at the end, what's the guy's name? Bate?
Tyler Bate and Peter Dunne. Dude.
There you go. Tyler Bates was flying all over the place, which made sense because Dunn was a bigger guy, but Dunn won at the end, and both guys got an ovation at the end. They worked their natural asses off, and this is what is missing from wrestling, is just two guys going at one another with a whole bunch of locks, counter locks, somehow flying. Everything made sense. There was a suplex on the apron. I thought the guy was dead. It was just very good. Very good match.
When you say you weren't a fan of the title, what do you mean? How the title looked or the idea of having a UK title?
Just the idea of them having a UK title.
Why?
With the European strap. And then they went over to have the European strap and then it just went in. But if you keep this United Kingdom strap and actually have guys competing for this belt, then it makes sense. Don't have this belt and have just throw a name out there. Perfect 10, I forget his name. Win the belt. You understand what I'm saying? Just to have for something to do. Like if you would have got from this United Kingdom and promote these guys. You understand what I'm saying? And put these guys on so you get all these wrestlers from the United Kingdom actually wrestling. Then I'm all for it. But just don't have this belt just so you get shopping around the company and then eventually get rid of it. That's pretty much what I'm saying.
Hmm. Okay.
What do you think?
Well, the tournament was amazing. I really do recommend that you should watch the original tournament. Seeing those two wrestle just brought back how great that tournament was. So I definitely recommend you and anybody else that didn't see it yet to go and check it out. If it's still up on the network, it should still be.
And they're doing another tournament like that with women. So I'm curious to how that's going to go. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
But speaking of women, going into the women's match, Oksana is still the NXT Women's Champion. Good match. I would have loved to see Ember Moon in that match, but she injured herself, and I don't think it's going to work. I think she really injured her arm. I've seen that at least 50 times. I'm like, oh, yeah, I think she really did hurt her arm. But it was kind of sort of her fault. But, it was just ugly. So hopefully she'll heal up and she'll be the one to dethrone Oksana. Am I saying her name right?
Asuka.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Asuka is a hell of a champion. It was a good match. And here's what it is. What's your opinion of that match?
I liked it. I mean, pretty much every match on that card, you know, was above average. Was great, but I feel that the second that it was announced Ember Moon wouldn't be in the match, that match already got knocked down a little bit of pegs. But, you know, those girls, they kind of proved me wrong. They put on a pretty decent match, and, it was good. now we get to see, like, where they're going to go, and I'm glad they're holding out for Ember to win, because you know it's going to be her to win next, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can have, you know, some black girl magic and have two black female champs at the same time. That would be history making.
Well, don't say that too much. We might jinx it.
Yeah.
Bobby Roode and name Hitachi.
Hideo and Tommy.
Yeah, him. And it was a decent match. I think it's the best match I've seen Hideo or Tommy have since he's been in NXT. I think it's one of the better matches he's had. And I think they both did a very good job. Bobby Roode is still the champion. And then the next day on Facebook, I did see where Hideo went into the locker room and tore the locker room up, like, real pissed off. So it might be a heel turn coming somewhere in there. But he went and he pushed a bunch of people around and tore up the locker room, and he was really pissed off and possible heel turn. What did you think of that match?
You know, a pay-per-view card was really good when, you know, a match between those two is probably the least, you know, liked match on the card. For me, it was. I just felt that all the other matches kind of surpassed it. It was still a great match. It's better than a lot of matches on the main card. I mean, the main roster. So, you know, I liked it, but it was, if you have to rank the matches, that was the lowest ranking match for me. I don't know. I don't know if it was their chemistry or they're just looking for someone to go up against the champion, or, you know, if Hideo has already been kind of exhausted already because he's been in and out, you know, injured, not injured. And they're just, I feel like they're just not doing what they need to with him. You know, if anybody doesn't know, this is Kenta, and he might not be the greatest fit for WWE. Who knows? I mean, obviously he's not, you know, he's not a Shinsuke Nakamura, but he's also not, you know, a campy, type either. So you got to kind of figure out what to do with him. If his strength isn't charisma, you have to kind of work with that and build around it. And I don't think they know what to do with him. And that's kind of scary because, you know, that means that he may not get called up. He may not be in WWE at all. So who knows?
Agreed. I can't say anything different. Main event was the Office of Pain versus DIY. And this match was excellent. They really tore the building down. And it was just funny to me watching the Office of Pain trying to climb the ladder and what had to hold the ladder for him. You see the ladder shaking the whole time. They got some stronger ladders for these two big bulls. But it made sense. And the one Arthur Payne went through this ladder, and that ladder snapped. And I was like, oh, my God. This is a great match. Arthur's a Payne are still the NXT Tag Team Champions. Paul Ellering took a super kick. And it was funny. I'm like, look at this old man taking a super kick. But it was good. And at the end, heel turn. I'm going to let you tell it, Felicia.
Yeah, if anybody was ever wondering, hey, how come the NXT title match wasn't at the end, you know, if you saw the pay-per-view now, you know, there was a big swerve at the end with Tommaso Ciampa finally turning on Johnny Gargano. And, you know, you kind of saw this coming. It's been teased in other matches, and he didn't go through with it. But obviously, Tommaso would be the one to turn heel. It just goes with him. If anybody doesn't know, his nickname is Tommaso Killer Ciampa, and he's just kind of vicious in the ring. And I'm kind of disappointed in that I'm hearing that they're going to be called up soon, but separate. And I feel that either way, they should have kept them together and then called them up, because you knew they were, like, some of the next backs to get called up. But you should have kept them together and then called them up, especially considering that WWE main roster is lacking some tag teams now, especially with Golden Truth splitting up. I feel that if you're going to split them up, you shouldn't have called them up yet, because we could have seen some amazing matches between these two. So hopefully we can get that out of these two before they get called up, because the matches they put on together were great. The matches that they can put on against each other, oh my goodness, can be phenomenal. So I really just want to see that. But also, someone said that they don't think that Tommaso and Gargano have enough charisma to carry on to the main roster separately, and I completely disagree. I disagree because there was a reason why they were the last match, and that pop that they received, the chance that they received, the nicknames that the fans gave, you know, Tommaso and Johnny, just show how over they are with the crowd. You know, Johnny is called Johnny Wrestling, and, you know, Tommaso, he is a killer, and, you know, they go, Tommaso's going to kill you, and they're over with the crowd. So I think they can definitely drive separate or apart. It's just a matter of how WWE uses them. But amazing match. They should have rethought those ladders, because Authors of Pain were, like, as big as those ladders.
Yeah.
So it was funny.
I just think they shouldn't call them up now, especially if you just split them up. Let them have their in NXT, and then eventually if you want to move them up, move them up. Even if you would have them have their feud in NXT, sit them out for a couple months, and then tag them back up to put them on the main roster. You can work it that way, because you know how the average WWE fan has a short memory. So even if you want to do it that way, but don't split them up. Just send them up to the main roster. That's going to kill them.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't do that.
Bring their story to WWE, yes.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so just like you said, they could have came up as a tag team, worked for a couple months, and then split them up when they got up there. But you got to use it to your advantage. Just don't do it and don't take advantage of a good situation. I just think that's killing it. But that's going to lead into backlash. And I want to speak on backlash. Anything else you want to say about TakeOver before we move on?
No, an amazing pay-per-view. If you haven't watched it, please go catch up and watch it. It's...
Now, backlash. For a month and a half, you've advertised Nakamura on the pay-per-view. He was the poster boy for backlash. When you pulled it up on Facebook and you said, we're watching, you know, Felicia Brown, James Bristol watching Backlash, whose picture was on the poster? Nakamura, right?
Yeah. All the commercials.
What in the blue hell that match on first? Why?
My exact thoughts.
You killed a good debut. Not saying the match is bad. I thought the match is good. It told the story. All I'm saying is, and I don't want to use a sexual reference, but I think you blew your nose too quick. That match should have went on right before the main event. If you wanted to end the show with Jinder Mahal, fine, I understand that. But that match should have went on right before the main event. And for them to put that on first, I thought it was disrespectful to Nakamura, and I felt as though you just totally screwed up everything you were trying to build. Your opinion, Felicia?
I completely agree. I This is something I was saying to a bunch of people in my wrestling group. I said, you spent months, you know, building what looks like to be the whole pay-per-view around this guy. He was the only one in the commercials, only one in the ads, only one on the posters, and you put the match first. Now, I completely understand the psychology and the marketing of putting, you know, one of your most popular matches first to build the momentum for a show, but that match should have been way down the line on the card, especially considering how some of the matches weren't that caliber. And honestly, putting it first, it kind of actually took away a lot of the match. Like, I kept saying, is it just me or is anybody else kind of not getting what they expected this match to be? Like, I didn't get what I thought that match could be. We saw, you know, Shinsuke work amazing matches in NXT once again, and I just didn't see it. I don't know if it was Ziggler, but Ziggler kind of held his own, and I don't know. I don't know. I know on the mic these two aren't going to work. I saw that immediately. But don't let that translate to their ring work not meshing well either. So something has to be done, and I don't know, you know, what has to be done. But, you know, it could have been a five-star match, and it wasn't.
No. Like I said, I thought it was a solid match. I just think in the positioning of the show, I think kind of killed it. I think
right.
If they would have put it on later, it would have built some suspense. And then it got into it, the crowd would have been a little more engaged.
And another thing is they did not, if anybody knows, usually on pay-per-views in particular, they give Shinsuke Nakamura these special entrances. He got a regular entrance, and that kind of killed it too. And I thought it would have been a good moment for Dolph Ziggler to get a special entrance too. It's been, you know, years since we've seen him with a out-of-the-ordinary entrance. If he ever got one, I'm not sure.
I don't think he ever got one.
Yeah, but, I don't know.
But with Nakamura, I was just thinking that, and you're absolutely right. They should have had that violin playing nigga standing there, and he should have came out like he did before.
Why?
I should have said it like that. That violin playing. Or you could have had a whole bunch of them people playing violin like they did before, and it would have built more suspense. But they kind of just shot it in the ass. And I was just like, oh, well. The tag team title match was Breezango versus the Usos.
Yes.
I thought it was funny as hell.
It was a great match.
I thought it was a good match. I thought Tyler Breeze stole the show.
Yeah.
But it was funny. I thought it was really funny. I hadn't seen anything quite like that in a minute. And there was a wrestler, an indie wrestler, that has done that on a couple of shows. I don't want to mention his name because I'm not a big fan of his. But he did that a couple of shows, and I just think it's funny. And I cracked up laughing. Usos won. It was a solid match. I want to see more out of Breezango. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I want to see more out of him. I definitely want to see more of Tyler Breeze. This is what you got to do with Tyler Breeze. Now you see where his strength is. Take it and run with it. The man can work. I'm not taking nothing away from his ring work. He's been there long enough, and he finally gave him a platform to show how comical he is. Let him have at it.
Mm-hmm.
Let him have at it. He was the shining star, if I could steal that. He was the shining star in that match. It was very funny. What'd you think?
I loved it. I thought it was the perfect match of campy humor, athleticism, actual wrestling, and still, you know, a fair, realistic outcome. It was a great blend of that. So if anybody says that you can't mix humor and, you know, campy bits in a match, it's just not true. It can be done, and they showed that. And I really hope that they work with these guys, all four of them, you know, and maybe build a program out of it. I love the whole Law and Order thing with, you know, Breezango. I think it's hilarious. And I'm glad to see Tyler Reeves get some type of shine, because I always thought that he should have, and they had something great with his gimmick, with the selfie stick and, you know, the flamboyant clothes, and they kind of let him fade into the back. I think he got injured, but I can't remember. But, you know, even so, you got to keep that going, and I'm glad that they're starting it back up again. So good on him and good on the Usos. And they're still Fandangoing, if you noticed.
Yep. The funny thing was, he switched halfway through and then put on a whole different outfit. I was cracking up.
Yeah.
Twin Magic. There was a dress when he threw the dress, and the dress hit JBL. I laughed too. I thought it was hilarious.
And the dropkick,
The Byron Saxon totally screwed that up when he was playing with the dress after the match. Like, Byron Saxon, you're so corny. Anyway, 6-woman tag match, blah, blah, blah. Natalya won with a sharpshooter on Becky Lynch. I like Becky Lynch's hair.
Me too.
Outside of that match was blah. It was okay. I like Naomi's entrance as usual. And I like Becky Lynch's hair. I thought it was cool. Outside of that, it was what it was. What did you think?
It was okay. I'm kind of glad to see Natty finally win something. I'm not a James Ellsworth fan, really, so I don't know why he's there. It kind of diminishes Carmella. I think she was a lot better when she was with Enzo and Cass. She was actually kind of formidable and believable. Now she's just, you know, a typical New York, Jersey Shore, you know, stereotype, and I really don't like it. Literally each show, Raw and SmackDown, have 6 women's wrestlers. I don't understand why you need to group all of them together like that instead of building maybe, you know, 2 or 3 separate stories. So I don't know where they're going with this. I feel a swerve coming on Charlotte, because it's just, I don't believe this face run for her. I don't believe it. So we'll see. But good on Naomi. I'm happy for her.
James Ellsworth is on minute 20 of his 15 minutes of fame to me. He's dead. He's taken the ball that they gave him and ran with it, or he took Patterson's balls and he ran with it. Hint, hint, wink, wink. And I just think it's time for James Ellsworth to pretty much fade into the background. It was what it was. It was funny for a minute. Now it's like, okay, is Ellsworth again? He's somewhat okay on the mic. And he's getting paid for not even wrestling. I just think it's hilarious. So it is what it is. Like any other indie guy could came along and been in that same spot and would have did the exact same thing. So anybody that's in the indies that would say, I would be pissed off if that was me, blah, blah, blah. Shut the hell up, because you did the exact same thing.
Yeah.
When I was wrestling and in the indies, and Vince would have came to me, I would have ran out to the thong and a teddy and did the exact same thing that James Ellsworth is doing. So anybody that's talking bad about James Ellsworth, as far as indie wrestler, you can go fly a kite because y'all did the exact same thing. I just feel like now it's time, you know, he has to fade into the background because it's getting, like, annoying. And he is taking away from Carmella and not really adding to it. It is what it is. I'm trying to think what it is. Sami Zayn, Baron Corbin. Corbin. Decent match. I like Zayn going over, because that's the one thing I didn't want to see. I didn't want to see Zayn lay down for another big guy. So Sami Zayn got the win with the Hoover kick. Solid match.
Yeah, it was a solid match. I don't know. I really do think that WWE is successfully making me less interested or not like two wrestlers that I really did like. It's just boring. It really is. I feel bad for Sami Zayn. I don't know if it's partially his fault, but we've just seen this before. You know, Sami Zayn, underdog, fighting the big guy, and you gotta beat all the odds and chop him down. I can't do that anymore. I don't know. He has the capability to be a lot of people. If anybody knows, you know, who he was one of the most over wrestlers in the indies. And it just seems like WWE just took it and watered it down, and it's so bad. And Baron Corbin, he had the possibility of going anywhere. And I always said that that program he had with Ambrose didn't benefit him because, you know, those are two guys that are fairly young, fairly new to WWE still, kind of. And, you know, they need their own separate push. So why should you put two guys in a match in a program that need separate pushes? And they did the same thing with Zayn. You know, we want to like Baron Corbin. We want to see his potential. We want to like Sami Zayn. We want to see his potential. So what do you get out of having them two go against each other? Nobody really wins or progresses forward, and it's just very stupid logic for WWE, very lazy booking.
Yes. Yes. Totally agree. Next match was one of the better matches of the night, if not the best match of the night. AJ Styles and
Kevin Owens.
Good match. Very good match. Both these guys are, you know, great wrestlers. The ending, I understand the ending because they, you know, they want to stretch it out. You know, so they want to stretch this feud out. Kevin Owens is still the United States champion. He won by count out because AJ Styles' foot got caught in the announce table and he couldn't get in before the 10 count. But you know you're going to see these guys go at it again. Very good, very solid match. And I was happy that you see two guys, you know, two top guys in the company give you an excellent match. And they're building a decent program of both of them. And you really got to keep it going. Like, don't screw it up and had them go their separate ways or nothing like that. Like, you got to keep these guys going because you could actually close a pay-per-view with these two guys going at it. What'd you think?
I loved it. It was definitely my favorite match of the night. Surprise, surprise. I knew going into it that that was one of the only matches I was really interested in seeing. And since the Ziggler-Nakamura match kind of let me down, I was really hoping this one would, you know, make me happy, and it did. Amazing. Again, I don't know what direction they're about to go with AJ Styles, but it can't be the U.S. title. The U.S. title only works for Owens because he can really do and sit anywhere, and he's a heel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But with AJ Styles, it really seems that the only belt that would fit him is the main belt, and it's just because they immediately catapulted him, you know, to the top. So now he has to consistently best himself, and you can only do that by having him face other top people. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes.
Next match was Flash in the Pan. Luke Harper versus Eric Rowan was what it was. Luke Harper won. You can end that there. Like, you see them wrestle on SmackDown. You see them wrestle the pay-per-view now. Luke Harper went over. They try to make Eric Rowan this creepy guy showing up on, because he showed up during the kickoff show and scared everybody, blah, blah, blah. Seen him once, seen him a million times. What'd you think?
I'm a big Luke Harper fan. I just think they should keep moving forward with him. Let him face someone else. You know, before he kind of expires out, because he's not a spring chicken. Kind of just let him face someone else. I don't know what the hell they're doing with Eric Rowan, but he's always been my least favorite out of the Wyatts. But I've seen some good stuff come out of him, too. So, I don't know. They're going to have to figure out what to do with all these big guys. I would like to see Luke Harper and maybe Baron Corbin team up or face each other. I think that could be good. But, again, two guys that need some light right now. And there's no reason why Luke Harper can't be one of your mid-card champs. I really don't see why not. So.
I agree. In the event, this is Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal is the new WWE Heavyweight Champion, which I was hoping for because I wanted to see something different. I really wanted to see something different. And the WWE gave you something different. Now, here's was the good and the bad with that. The good was, to me, yes, it's somebody totally new on the belt, and it's somebody out of the blue. Like, Jinder Mahal been there for years. You remember all the three-man band stuff he was doing, and a lot of the clown stuff he was doing. And he was really barely on the shows, and then he went through a body transformation, which he started working out, and he's all buff and jacked now, and now he's your heavyweight champion. And I think with the right direction and the correct writing, he could be a star if you build it right. Now, is he the greatest wrestler in the world? No. But you could work with him. And there's already something there. It's just they have to develop it. Now, the bad part about it was Randy Orton looked very sloppy to me. Like, he really didn't want to be there. He was just kind of going through the motion. I don't think he really wanted to do the job, the gender. I could be wrong, but he just looked like he was like, who gives a shit type of attitude to me. And it was what it was. Gender won, and I popped. And what it is. And I'm glad he is, champ. And Randy didn't like it. I think Randy didn't like spoiled Brett, which I thought during the match. Just watch the match. If anybody didn't see the match, watch the match and look at body language during the match. And then tell me any different. Tell me you believe any different. What'd you think?
Congratulations to Jinder. I mean, at first I was not on board with this. I was like, what are they doing? What are they thinking? But then I realized I can't be a hypocrite. You know, I want to see change in WWE. This is the change they choose to give us. So I have to accept it and see where it goes. I think it's hilarious. I think Jinder has a chance of being a real, legit, formidable heel. I think it goes well with everything that's going on in, you know, the world right now. You have people saying that he's only champ because WWE is looking to once again broaden their horizons to India like they did with the Great Khali. You know, he was like the big hero over there, and now they want to do the same with Jinder because they are going on an Indian tour soon, which is smart marketing, but don't let that be the only reason why we get to see people that look different as your chance. Let it be, you know, because you actually do believe in change and do believe that anybody should have equal opportunity, but I thought it was a little bit of a maybe some Syrian sympathy, you know, right around the time that our POTUS decided to go in and, you know, bomb Syria. That was when it was announced that Jinder was in the running for, you know, the title and everything. So I don't know. I don't know if they want to show, hey, look, we do care. We do have brown people in here, and they are doing things. But I just hope that they don't mess it up. Don't let him be a one-month champ or a three-month champ just so he can – you know, create some waves in India and get your merchandise out. So, I don't know, but here's the change in WWE. Randy Orton, I like Randy Orton. I love Randy Orton. I love the Legend Killer. I like the Viper, but he has grown boring. You know, he's older now, and you're right. He has his attitude that is very entitled, and I don't have to do anything because I'm John Cena status as far as seniority in the company. So it translates in the ring, and it's not there. And going back to race, I know, but it's really ironic that, you know, gender's whole platform was you guys don't like me because I look different. And the person that he was facing, Randy Orton, actually has openly went on social media and said things about people that didn't look like him, you know, in a negative way. He has made racial remarks, and he has been known to not be kind to people. So it's just really ironic, that whole program.
Yep. I got, if that was a market employee because they're going over to India, then it was a smart play. It is what it is. If you did it with the Great Khali, and the Great Khali couldn't wrestle out of a wet paper bag, then doing it with gender, I think it's a good idea, because gender can wrestle. I'm not saying that he's the greatest wrestler, but I am saying that he can wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And he did transform his body. So I think it's workable. It just has to be done correctly.
Mm-hmm. I'm putting a campaign for Heath Slater to be the Universal Champion and Drew McIntyre to be the NXT Champion. So all three of them beating that title.
Hey,
it's going to happen. Watch.
Drew McIntyre could be the next NXT Champion. Now, as far as the other one, I don't know. But yeah. But that's those are both paper big shows WWE had this weekend. Those are our opinions of it. I have a quick relationship question, and we're gonna do that, and then we're gonna put a bow on this and send it home. Now, my relationship question has to do with wrestling as well as relationships, and it's very simple. But do you think that wrestlers should date other wrestlers? Do you think that's a good idea?
Oh, in the indies, no. In the pro wrestling, WWE, TNA, blah, 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 all that, perhaps, yes.
Do you think that becomes a little troublesome? Because let's look at, if you look at Naomi and, you know what I'm talking about.
Jay Uso.
And Jay Uso. Or
yeah.
If you look
well,
at Eden and his wife, and you look at the Miz and Marie. Like, what if they decide to, would that be a strain on their marriage? And, would it become cause a problem? Because there's one thing, like, I know this WWE is probably a lot different than what it is on the indie scene, but you're in the same room with these people, and you're changing in front of them, and this, that, and the fourth. Like, does that become a problem after a while?
I don't think so. You know, all those people you named, they're married, and they all met in WWE, so I feel like, obviously, if they were strong enough to go as far as to get married, then they kind of beat that stigma and they beat the temptation and, you know, they beat all that's there. So only thing that would put a strain on their marriage is if they split them up by, you know, since we do have a brand split now, like they did Renee and Dean. And she said it sucks. She said she's mad about it, but you keep on going, you know. If you're a workhorse, then you know, you'll realize that you'll meet up soon. You know, there'll be a chance where you get to cross paths. At the end of the day, these guys all live with each other, so it'll work out. But I think when you're dating a wrestler, then that's where it becomes a problem, especially with, you know, things that you see like Paige is doing, how she kind of went through some of the guys of the roster. I don't think dating in WWE is good at all, or dating in wrestling is good. But if you're with this one person, then fine. But it's kind of inevitable, because like you said, you are on the road with these people close to 365 days a year, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it is temptation. And, you know,
it is.
You're with these people. And I'm not saying just with ring rat that you'll run across, you know, every so often, and, you know, blah, 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 whatever happens. What I'm saying is, it's people that are actually working in the company with you. And you're going to these photo shoots together, and you're traveling together, and you're behind, you know, you're backstage with them, or, you know, in the locker room with them, and I think it becomes to be a problem.
Right.
And I don't think it's too, like I say, I think it's a bad idea, but in the same respect, some good might come out of it, because if you do have this person that has your back. And Booker T even said one time, you know, when he was traveling with Charmel, Charmel pretty much saved his life, because she made sure that they ate the right
mm-hmm.
things, the proper things. She made sure that his bags was properly packed. She made sure everything was clean, iron, pressed, whatever, put to the side, whatever. She took care of him while they were on the road together. And that was a good thing. And she made sure she probably kept all the hoochies off him, too. So he didn't do much trouble. She, you know, she protected a man, which, you know, a good woman will protect a man, or a good man will protect his woman. But if you're in there and you're sleeping with this person, like if you, and I don't want to put the name out there, but it's what it is, but if you're a Nikki Bella and you dated this guy, and then this guy led to this guy, and the next thing you know, you hooked the big fish and this, that, and the fourth, to me, you're just a glorified ring rat.
Mm.
You dated the wall until you hooked the big fish. That's what it is. Anybody have anything different?
Well, I know you had a long stint in wrestling. Have you ever dated a wrestler? Or
never.
Never.
Never. I never dated anybody in the wrestling business. Never.
And, you know, I'm sure you've seen, you know, cohorts and coworkers do the same where they did date a wrestler. And I'm sure you've seen all the drama and how it didn't work out well, too.
I did. I see it didn't work out well. I seen where it became a conflict of interest at times, even with the traveling part of it. I seen where
mm-hmm.
the person... The two people who were dating was traveling to a show, and I had a transportation issue, and I had to ride with them, and the female in the relationship got angry because I had to come along. But this was a date day. This was us going to a show.
Right.
And if it wasn't for me, that person wouldn't have been a part of the show. So how are you going to get mad because I'm coming along when I'm hooking you up? Now, if y'all want to go on a date, go on a date. Fine, I have no problem
right.
with that. But, no, don't get angry and act like, you know, you wanted to ride up with this person alone because y'all wanted y'all special date time. Like, no, this is business. But as far as, like, me with the, you know, even with, like the different females that I've come across in the business are always kept it friendly. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were cool, fine, or whatever. I never approached anybody like that. If you worked for me, you worked for me. We was business, and we were friends in the locker room. It just was what it was. Because even when I was at my job at Merck, I never dated anybody at Merck either.
Right.
Because I just, you know, you're not supposed to shit we eat. And it becomes a problem. And I'm glad I did it like that.
It's true.
On that note, Let's put a bow on it, puppy, and send it home. Felicia Brown, I thank you for doing the show with me again. It's always a pleasure as usual.
Thank you for having me.
We will see you again next week. Next Monday was Memorial Day.
Yeah.
So, any plans you got, Felicia, for Memorial Day to get?
Well, I hear a certain host is might be doing something, so I don't know. But other than that, I don't really have any. I only have one war veteran in my family, so, you know, I'll think about my grandpa, and that's about it. But kudos to all the people who really love this country and really believe that they're fighting for the freedom of people. And, you know, thank you.
No problem. Yes, I will be behind the grill once again. And I'm thinking about getting a new grill. So I got to wash over that, because my old grill seen some better years. I was looking at it the other day like, yeah, it might be time to retire old girl. And get a new one. But we'll see how it goes. But yes, we will be on the air next Monday. So any last words, Felicia?
Nope, everyone. Have a good weekend. Have a good week. And, you know.
Once again, I thank you, everybody, for listening. I thank you. Be careful. Be safe. Keep it classy. There's three different types of people in the world: those who don't know what happened, those who wonder what happened, and people like Felicia Brown and Big Daddy that make things happen. God bless you all. Good night. And I think there's a fight out in the back of my house.
You think there's a what?
I think these two people are about to fight in the back of my house. I should keep the show going just to see what happens.
World star?
I'm not going to do that. World star? I'm not going to do that. Good night, everybody. God bless. See you next Monday.
Good night, everyone.